What's up, everyone? This is Fantasy Sports Today. Thanks for joining us. A little bit less of a panic this Monday morning, considering after week two in the NFL, there were no running backs left, seemingly.
None.
Everyone got injured, but it was quite relatively painless week for most teams. Heading into week three, Chris Meaney, Ashley Docking here with you. We're going to start off the show with some rookie quarterbacks. We're going to be later joined by Derek Van Riper. He's going to talk about some waiver wire pickups that he likes, and then we're going to get into some target leaders for week three, as well as the entire season, some guys that you may want to focus your attentions on because they are getting the volume, they are getting the opportunity. But first, someone who's giving Philadelphia a huge opportunity to be successful, Carson Wentz.
I want to know, are you impressed?
I was very impressed.
Were you surprised?
I've been on Carson Wentz. Both of us have been talking about him and Doug Peterson, and they've been such a great combination early on.
I have to admit, I'm a little bit surprised, but I'm very impressed so far with what I've seen from Carson Wentz. I mean, to play against the Pittsburgh Steelers, I mean, you can chalk up. That's all anybody was saying. It's like, okay, week one, whatever. You know, they played Cleveland. And
they didn't have a test.
They played Chicago. There was no test. And then here we are, played the Pittsburgh Steelers. Not only did they just hammer the Steelers, I mean, Big Ben, and they were only able to put up 3 points.
3 points.
On that defense. So Carson Wentz looks good. You see the completion percentage, 72%. It's really nice. Right now, he's a top 10 quarterback according to fantasy points. He's number 9 overall. He finished with the 7th most yards yesterday, 300 plus. He looks really good in this offense. It's not an offense that has pieces where you can. Jordan Matthews had a touchdown, but Aguilar, I mean, he didn't do a whole lot. Ryan Matthews didn't do a whole lot. We'll talk about that situation a little bit with Derek Van Riper, as you mentioned, but he's just spreading the ball around. And to Doug Peterson, he deserves a lot of credit. I mean, a lot of the passes are just passes into backs in the backfield, tight ends open, crossing routes, not a whole lot of shots deep downfield. He's just really productive. So we have to now start thinking about him as a startable quarterback in fantasy because
Absolutely.
He wasn't drafted as one. He was ranked outside the top 20. So now being a top 10 guy, having a bye, you don't need to go to the waiver wire and just spend a waiver wire claim on him. He's got a bye coming up. Then they got Detroit. The schedule gets softer. Hasn't played anybody so far inside the division, which is a fairly weak division, especially these secondaries. I know the Giants improved and Washington improved a little bit, but we have to start talking about this guy now as a fantasy asset.
Well, Philadelphia, who would have thought? One of five teams to start the season 3-0, along with the Patriots, which is kind of a surprise, but not because they're also the Patriots.
Yeah.
The Broncos, the Vikings, a huge upset against the Carolina Panthers this week, and then the Ravens. But to your point, you know what? He deserves a lot of credit, but their defense has been solid too. Just 27 points against, only 4 interceptions, four sacks, so good on the offensive line, protecting their quarterback. Wentz was only 11 years old when Big Ben was drafted. So definitely a great experience for him to go up against someone I'm sure he's looked up to, someone who's been so great in the NFL for so many years. And Wentz becomes the first quarterback in NFL history with at least 100 pass attempts, 60 completions, 5 touchdowns, still 0 interceptions.
Yeah,
it's still perfect.
23 for 31. And that's, you know, if you watch the game yesterday, Phil Simms was just the comparisons to Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they were playing each other, but I mean, they're both 6'5". They're both way around the same, 204. Just poise in the pocket. I know Big Ben can take those hits and extend the plays that way. But yeah, a lot to still see with Carson Wentz, but so far so good. Also,
so
Dak
far,
Prescott,
so good.
Another rookie quarterback who's doing good. And we need to talk about these guys. These guys are now startable in two quarterback leagues where we didn't really know what to expect with them heading in. But much like, you know, Wentz, Dak Prescott, patient in the pocket as well, not throwing any picks, not taking a lot of shots deep downfield. Yet he's got a running back to work with Ezekiel Elliott. But Prescott looks good too. And I mean, yet before he actually threw the touchdown, he was the first quarterback in NFL history to throw 90 plus passes without throwing a touchdown. And the first ever to do that without throwing a pick as well.
Sure.
But he finally connected with Dez. He ran one in as well. It remains to be seen whether Tony Romo is going to be the guy when he comes back. I don't know if he can take a hit. I don't actually think he can take another hit.
Yeah.
He's basically done. But for Prescott, 71% completion percentage, Wentz 72. It's very impressive what these rookies are able to do, and maybe even more impressive for Prescott being the 8th quarterback taken in the draft in the 4th round, and they basically were just taking a flyer on this guy.
The thing is, though, just be careful with Dak Prescott, because if you look at the Dallas offense, 45 pass attempts, 30 pass attempts, and then just 24 pass attempts this week. So they're trending towards being a more run-heavy team.
For sure.
And when Dak's throwing the ball, even when he had 45 attempts, he's only had 1 passing touchdown, 2 rushing touchdowns. So there is value there, but the run game is really where the fantasy value is, particularly in Dallas. But let's talk about Trevor Siemian as well.
Yeah. Sure, why
four
not?
Touchdowns this week.
In Cincinnati against a really good defense. So good
impressive.
On Trevor Siemian. I was really impressed with him week one. I really was. There's a lot of negative talk about this guy in the office, but he hadn't taken an NFL snap before. Yeah, he took one last year. He kneeled down. But this year so far, he's been okay. I mean, he went up against Carolina. He made some questionable throws, but he was able to move around the pocket. And for him to go into Cincinnati and throw four touchdowns, Emmanuel Sanders have a day. Demaryius Thomas find the end zone. These guys have been productive. We were worried about them.
We were.
For the first 3 weeks and saying, don't even draft them. Now you have to start thinking about, you know, Sanders. I mean, 13 targets yesterday, that was the fourth most of any wide receiver. So it's very positive if you have these guys. C.J. Anderson wasn't as productive, but it's nice to see that Sanders and Thomas are going to be productive. At least we think so. It was very, very positive yesterday.
Well, and it's funny because we're talking about Simeon's Northwestern stats in his final year at college.
Not
he
great.
Was 7-11 touchdown to interception ratio, sacked 31 times for a loss of 269 yards. Yikes.
That's
but he's obviously
good.
Turned it around. And all these young guys are making history. Chris, is what we keep talking about. And Simeon's no different. First rookie quarterback to go for 300 yards or more, four touchdowns, zero interceptions in their first road start. So very, very impressive.
Yeah,
and Todd Gurley,
hey!
Welcome back, Todd Gurley. Although his day wasn't that impressive in terms yards per carry, he found the end zone twice, making fantasy owners just a little bit relieved.
Yeah, I mean, 27 for 85, it's not spectacular. I like the fact that he's getting the volume, getting the work, but we thought that anyways. That's what we expected. But at least this is some positive news for Todd Gurley. You see the yards per carry, 2.9. It's not great. I keep the same stance. I would sell this guy.
Sell him high?
I only own him in a keeper league and a dynasty league. I'm not going to bother with that. If I could flip him for Ezekiel Elliott, sure, I would do that. But, of course, the Elliott owner will not have any part of that. So, I mean, you're in this work league. You grabbed him, what, 11th overall?
10th overall.
10th overall, Gurley. And now you
as
lost D'Angelo Williams. I know everyone's sitting here watching in the work league, but what would you do? I think that I would sell him.
I'm going to try and sell him, but it's tough because we work for Fantasy Sports Network, so everyone knows what the play is. You got to sell him. So I don't know if you're going to sell him. You're not going to sell him for running back one value,
right,
but you might be able to get a high-end running back two. It just depends on your stance on him because we have guests on the show every day, and it varies depending on the person. Some people trust him. Some people think that you need to get rid of him, that he was overrated from the beginning. It depends on your personal preference. For me, I want to sell him, but I'm in a fantasy league. At a Fantasy Sports Network, so chances are I'm going to be able to sell him for Alfred Morris.
It's tough. I mean, we said last week we said on the Pat Mayo Hour that we would flip him for DeMarco Murray. I was on board with that as well. I mean, DeMarco Murray now RB1, the most fantasy points, again, heavily involved in that offense.
Is someone going to give up DeMarco Murray?
On his way to get 60-plus catches in this offense for sure. Mariota can't connect with anybody else besides Murray.
But if you're a Murray owner,
you probably do not want to do that. Yeah, I mean, you can flirt with what you want. On the flip side of that, I would kind of flirt with maybe I could give a lowball offer for Todd Gurley. I don't want to give up anything like Murray or C.J. Anderson.
Of course.
But maybe I want to give up some pieces. You know, it's all about context, of course. But this is what fantasy is all about. You're the GM. You're the manager. Don't be afraid to send some offers out there and see what you can get.
And then just quickly, Jeremy Hill had a game. 17 for 97 yards, two touchdowns, 5.7 yards per carry, doing a lot with little opportunity,
yes,
which is what you always love to see. Although those numbers are a bit skewed, 97 yards. He broke out for 150-yard run early on in the game. And then welcome back
Jimmy Graham.
But so he had a 100-yard game. He had a touchdown. But for me, Chris, it's still hands off Jimmy. I don't know what to say. I still don't trust him. He had one big week, week three last year, actually, against Chicago, where he had a touchdown. He had like 87 yards or something along those lines and then didn't score a touchdown for the rest of the year up until his injury. So, you know, temper expectations. We always talk about people overreacting when someone has a good game, when someone has a bad performance.
Yes.
I think this is kind of wait and see what happens.
Yeah, let's see what happens. 9 targets, 6 receptions, 100 yards.
Because there was no Tyler Lockett.
Yeah, it's positive.
So, it is positive, though.
Positive news.
Positive news. All right. We're going to be back. Derek Van Riper joins us from RotoWire. We're talking about waiver wire pickups. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. We're talking waiver wire pickups right now. The names like Terrell Pryor, Wendell Smallwood, Chris Hogan. Who would have thought that these guys would be relevant as early as week three? If you did, you're probably doing pretty well. You probably got a head start on the rest of us. But Derek Van Riper talks about why some of these guys need to be picked up if they are still available on your waiver wire. Hello, sir. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing good. It's less hectic from last week, Derek. I mean, everyone probably rushing to the waiver wire. It won't be as busy. But as Ashley said, let's touch with Terrell Pryor. Yesterday, depending on what site you look at, Pro Football Focus, 12 targets, ESPN, 14. But we do know 144 yards and was even throwing balls at one point yesterday in that game. I guess just, are you rushing the waiver wire to pick this guy up? And what do you think his role will be when Josh Gordon returns week five against the Pats?
Well, I do like the idea of going after him this week, Chris. I mean, we're talking about a player in Terrell Pryor who has just tremendous athletic gifts. The size-speed combination is ridiculous. We saw him on the field as a quarterback, as a receiver, and as a safety yesterday. 12 targets is a pretty big volume. And yeah, once Josh Gordon comes back, that's going to be a concern. But Corey Coleman has a broken hand, so he's going to miss at least 3 to 5 more weeks. Gary Barnage didn't do much in weeks 1 and 2, so I think Barnage is the guy that loses out on looks once Gordon comes back. And I think it bodes particularly well for Pryor that Cody Kessler didn't look completely awful for a third-round rookie making his NFL debut on very short notice in week 3. So I think when you look at all these factors, this is actually an offense that it's bad enough defensively. The offense is going to get lots of opportunities to air it out in the second half of games throughout the season.
Pryor, the first player to put up a pass, it's so crazy to me, sorry, put up a pass receiving and rush line of at least 120, 30, and 20 since 1959. It's not something that we see too often. No. And I don't know how I feel if I'm Cody Kessler, if they're rotating someone in for offensive snaps.
Yeah.
It's kind of disrespectful, even though he didn't look bad. Let's talk about Cameron Brate, though. He had he was 5 of 10, 17 targets on the year, 10 coming in week 3. Do you trust him that this volume increase is going to continue, or are we going to see something a bit more in the middle at like 6?
I think 6 is a more realistic floor for him each week. I mean, Austin Seferian Jenkins being gone opens up a lot of valuable red zone targets for Cameron Brate. I think as Vincent Jackson has shown us, he's just not the same guy anymore. So that opens up some stuff as far as Adam Humphries goes. But Brate's going to be a guy that in close, he has the trust of Jameis Winston. As my buddy Michael Beller of SI pointed out, Brate looks like Jungle Commando from the Nintendo 64 GoldenEye game. So I think I like that about him quite a bit. 10 targets in week 3. The upcoming schedule's a little tough. Denver and Carolina in weeks 4 and 5 before a bye, but things open up for the Bucks quite a bit after that. The Niners, Raiders, Falcons, and Bears all presenting good matchups. I think Brate's a tight end too, a guy that you mix and match with like an Eric Ebron type player going forward.
I love N64 GoldenEye. Let's stick with Tampa Bay here. You kind of mentioned Adam Humphries. I mean, this is the thing. I mean, he had another decent game in terms of targets, his double-digit targets. Now he's got top 25 targets in the NFL. But the thing with me, it's like Winston. He threw the ball 58 times. He threw it 52 times last week. He's thrown it 142 times, which is like 20 more than Bortles, who's the next highest guy. And the defense is just awful. Do you see any room for him on maybe one of your rosters?
I do. I think if a guy like Jamison Crowder has value in the league you're playing in, Adam Humphries also kind of fits into that bill. I mean, right now he could emerge to be the number two receiver in an offense that is getting volume each and every week. You have to like Jameis Winston as a quarterback on the rise. I know he didn't play well in week 2 against Arizona, but Humphries had twice as many targets as Vincent Jackson did this week, so he could be the number two option in a very good offense that's also shootout prone too, with a lot of matchups against the Saints, the Panthers, the Falcons. I like the setup quite a bit, and he's a nice fallback option for that third receiver or that flex spot in PPR leagues as we get close to the bye weeks.
So would you drop Vincent Jackson? Like, would you cut him for Humphries? And you mentioned Barnage. You think he's going to see another decrease in the offense. Like, would you cut him for Brate?
I think I would. I would look at, Humphries and Brate as upgrades over those two guys right now. I mean, I think with Humphries, he has the trust of Jameis Winston. We started to see flashes of that last year as well. So I think the way this is working out right now, Humphries also draws lesser quality corners than Vincent Jackson does. So that bodes well. He gets better matchups that Winston can take advantage of.
Yeah, good call.
Who would have thought? Two guys on Tampa, hot commodities. Week three, I love it. Let's talk about Jordan Howard, 9 carries for 45 yards in their loss to Dallas yesterday. Jeremy Langford goes down with an ankle injury. He's carted off. We're not sure of the extent of his injuries yet, but does this injury just accelerate the fact that Jordan Howard was primed to almost take over the backfield in this offense anyways? At least that's the way it was looking.
Yeah, I mean, if you looked at any article on Jeremy Langford from July through the end of draft season, it was pretty negative in terms of his inability to hold this job all season. The lack of per-carry efficiency a year ago was a big concern for Jeremy Langford as well. Howard looked good in relief last night, 92 yards from scrimmage on 13 total touches. I like the fact that he was catching some passes, 5.6 yards per carry early on this season. I think the Bears are going to have to run a ball control offense anyway. It's going to be a ground-heavy attack, and they're going to fall behind at times, but as long as Howard's getting on the field in third down situations, he can be useful. So if he emerges to take over this starting job, he's a top 20 or top 25 running back the rest of the way. I think that makes him good enough to pick up in pretty much all formats.
Yeah, we were telling people on Sunday, just go do it now so you don't have to hit the waiver wire. So hopefully people out there did that. I mean, Derek, we gave Carson Wentz a lot of love here at the top, Doug Peterson in that offense. But if you're a Ryan Matthews owner, you're certainly concerned. I mean, since 2010, this guy's been on the injury list or the injury report 50 plus times. He wasn't on it yesterday leading up to the game, but 2 carries, negative 5 yards, 17 for 79 from Smallwood, 8 for 43 for Barner. Sproles was involved in the passing game, but if you look at the snaps, only 9 snaps for Ryan Matthews and 24 for Smallwood and 24 for Sproles. How concerned are you with Ryan Matthews?
I'm concerned, but at least we have an explanation. He's had an ankle injury that's been bugging him off and on for the past 2 weeks. It tightened up on him in the first quarter yesterday, so the lack of usage to me isn't the result of Ryan Matthews losing the job. It's just that he wasn't healthy for that matchup against the Steelers, and he does have an extensive injury history that you mentioned. The good news is the Eagles are one of the teams on bye in week 4, and Doug Peterson came out today and said that Ryan Matthews is still the starter in Philadelphia as long as he's healthy. So Wendell Smallwood is worth picking up. You're not going to get help from him, of course, on the bye in week 4, but it's more of a wait and see with Matthews' health. This turns out to be an ankle sprain or a high ankle sprain that could knock him out beyond the bye. I like the fact that Smallwood had 17 carries to Kenyon Barner's 8. Pretty clear at this point that Smallwood is the next man up if Matthews misses time either in week 5 or at some point later this season.
Pittsburgh was supposed to be this huge, high-flying offense, and they scored 3 points last week. But Sammy Coates, 3 of 4 for 50 yards. This guy has that big playability that we love to talk about, although it's not going to happen every game when you have him in your lineup and he hits. He could be gold. Is he someone that you're interested in, or is he too hot and cold because you're only going to really get points if you get a long shot down the field that he breaks for a touchdown?
I like Sammy Coates as a stash, Ashley. I don't want to have to throw him in there in these early bye weeks, but if the Steelers were to give him more targets, you have to think the production could be pretty explosive based on what he's done so far. He's only been targeted 12 times this year, but he's caught 7 passes, averaging 29 yards per catch and 16.9 yards per target. Those numbers are off the charts. This is an offense that needs another option in the passing game behind Antonio Brown. It can't all go through Le'Veon Bell now that he's back from his suspension. So if that volume goes up, I think we do see top 30, top 35 receiver production from Coates at some point this year. Until we start to see more targets, however, he's the kind of player you want to stash on your bench as a high upside roster add for week 4.
Derek, we got to get out of here. I know you're big on Chris Hogan too. People should go pick him up and not cut ties with him, correct?
Correct. Hold on to him. I think once Brady comes back, we're going to see scorched earth Brady, and that's my favorite type of Brady to see from a fantasy standpoint.
Absolutely. Derek, you're fantastic, man. Thanks for jumping on. Hopefully you won all your fantasy matchups. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take
Bye.
Care.
Right. Hell hath no fury, like a Tom Brady and Bill Belichick scorned, and they are pissed.
Yes.
Can I say that?
Yeah, you just did.
Twice.
Yeah, you can catch Derek, by the way, 11 yes. to noon on SiriusXM Monday to Wednesday and from 11 to 1 on Fridays. Good stuff right there.
Very good. All right, moving
Touches
on.
Touches and targets.
Touches and targets with Chris and I. We're going to talk about some people that stood out to us, some people that should be on your radar if they're not already, although they probably are. A lot of big names on this list.
Perhaps.
All right, we'll be back. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. As promised, what's going to become a weekly segment, Targets and Touches report on Monday after our big football Sunday. We're going to start with wide receivers. We have the top 10 total touches, I believe it is. Yes, receiving target leaders.
For the week.
So Antonio Brown, no surprise. Mike Evans with a big 13. Emmanuel Sanders, as we talked about, kind of a surprising show. He had a huge week. And then Terrell Pryor, Kevin White, Landry Humphreys, Crabtree, Steve Smith, Senior still in the mix, and then five other players tied at 11 targets. You want to talk specifically about Mike Evans?
Yeah, I mean, well, here's the leaders to date for the season for targets. I mean, right there, Evans at 37. I mean, he's just going to get so many targets. We talked about Winston throwing the ball 142 times, which is the most of any quarterback by far. So yeah, per game, this guy may throw 70 plus passes in one
potentially.
Game. Like if it goes to overtime, it just may happen. But I guess the one guy I really wanted to touch on here is this kind of getting a lot of negative love, and I mean, Pat and I talked about him a little bit too, is Jarvis Landry. Landry is just, he's one of those guys that we kind of pick on that doesn't find the end zone, mm-hmm. and if you're playing in standard leagues, he really is not as valuable as PPR, but you see the targets there, 31, just getting a lot of looks, and even racking up some yards there, 316. Again, the one touchdown is not what we want.
Not great.
Not what we want to see, but it's nice to see that he's getting targets and he's getting volumes, and that's what this is all about. So yeah, Ashley, we're going to continue to do this. Write an article on rotoexperts.com on Mondays just to go deeper into some of these guys.
Yep. And just for Mike Evans quickly, the knock on him was that he didn't get any red zone love, but this year, 4 red zone looks, 3 touchdowns all of 2015. 3 touchdowns.
Exactly.
So if you were concerned about that, you can put yourself at ease. Mike Evans is for real. Let's talk about some running backs now, because the landscape has shifted considerably after all the injuries in week 2. This is the touches leaders for 2016. Lamar Miller, D'Angelo Williams outpacing everyone. Zeke, Forte, Blunt, Gurley, Hyde, CJ Anderson, Melvin Gordon, DeMarco Murray. Now specifically with Gurley, this does not necessarily talk about production. This talks about opportunity. Someone interesting to you, Lamar Miller, and for me, there's no one else threatening him. We talk about committee, there's no one else. It's just Lamar Miller, and what he's going to do, he has all the opportunity to be very successful this year.
Yeah, so 3.6 yards per carry, not great, but I think this is an opportunity where you could probably buy low on Lamar Miller. Yes, you see that he has the most touches out of anybody in the NFL, but 32 touches in week 1, 27 and 27 and 25, so he's averaging 28 touches per game so far. He averaged 15 touches per game with Miami. He's getting almost double the workload. I know he hasn't found the end zone yet. I know Houston is really struggling moving the ball, but I think this is an opportunity to go and get somebody that we know will just get a lot of work and a lot of volume. And I just want to touch on LeGarrette Blount as a guy that maybe you can just go ahead and sell high. LeGarrette Blount is rolling right now. He's been fantastic. He's just so far, he's having averaging 25 attempts per game. He's not catching the ball in the backfield. He's not going to do that. 0 targets, 0 receptions. So 25 attempts per game just over the 3 games. But I look at last year with Tom Brady, in 13 games with Tom Brady, in 12 games rather with Tom Brady, he had 4.3 yards per carry, which is right around where he's at right now, 4.4 yards per carry, but only 13 touches per game.
Not good.
Only 13. In fact, only once last season did he have over 20 touches per game. It was 29. And if you want to say that the pass were down in games, they weren't. They were up in all of those games. In fact, New England was 10 and 12 when Blount was playing. So it's not like they gave Blount the ball in the second half and just ran. What we said with Derek, he likes to throw the ball. So
this might be an
opportunity to go ahead and sell high on Blount. You want to touch on Bell.
Well, Tom Brady, he's going to be a passing quarterback, and the Patriots had not had a top 10 running back in terms of yards since 2012, and that was Stephen Ridley. He had 1,263 yards, 12 touchdowns. Since then, their running backs have been ranked 26th, 47th, 50th, and 21st, so not a good look. Sell high. And then someone else you have to consider selling, D'Angelo Williams. Le'Veon Bell's suspension is over. He is coming back. In 5 games last season when Bell played, he never had less than 17 carries, and in that time, Williams never had more than 10. Stay away from the situation. There's going to be no competition.
Maybe you just sell him to a Bell owner, see what you can get. It's not a bad
idea. That's my plan.
No.
Sell the handcuff.
That's your plan.
You need a handcuff.
We're out of here.
Bye.
We'll see you tomorrow.